Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite time each week. Good morning. Happy Saturday after Easter Saturday. Spring is here. I have a show for you. You're going to have to put your thinking caps on. You're going to have to tie concepts together. This is not for the low information voter. If you are the low information voter and you get a headache 20 minutes into the show, take an aspirin. Put your seatbelt on. Does your body soften over time? The forgotten art of using your senses to heal. Does your body soften over time? The forgotten art of using your senses to heal. If you listen deeply, not quantitatively, but deeply, if you deeply attach to the vibration of the show, you're going to be given a guiding light out of the labyrinth of disease. A guiding light out of the labyrinth of disease towards radiant health. It's just common sense, but not all of us can utilize our common sense. Does your body soften over time? The forgotten art of using your senses to heal. If you are confused, I want to give you a perspective from that of a doctor. Because doctors really are the most confused of all. Well, we don't say that. But really, any doctor in holistic medicine suffers the same problem. They're confused. And the reason they're confused is because when they were educated to dogma. Now, that's not old news, it's new news. Well, at least it's present news, it's current news. We live in a world of dogma. Everybody wants the way. And while it's politically correct to say, well, there's no one way, there's many ways, and you nod your head and smile. That's not the reality of how medicine is administered. Holistic medicine is dogmatic. I'm going to apply my statement, and then we're going to keep moving to illuminate the issue and to give you a solution. So I want you to get to the website. If you're new to the show, get to the website if you can. StraightTalk.cc. Again, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. StraightTalk.cc, that's two T's, not .com, .cc. I want you to go to picture number at the top of the web page there, show 254. I want you to just don't start it. Just take a look at the YouTube. Now, this YouTube is of a raw food debate between Dr. Douglas Graham, David Wolf, and Bryant Clement. They're all non-meat eaters. They don't eat animal protein and they don't eat dairy. And they're authorities in their field. And they're at a conference where they're having a little debate. Now, it's not a debate, an angry debate, because God forbid a meat eater would show up. These guys are the vegetarian types. And they all have differences, serious differences, differences that could determine, well, the difference between life and death at a certain point, or disease and health. But right now, they're relatively young men, and they're debating their slant on vegetarianism. I want you to come a little lower here. Now, here's another one where even the commercial public picked this up. This is a debate, the YouTube lower than that. That's Dr. McDougall and Dr. Furman. They're both medical doctors, and they've also got some very different views on vegetarianism. Dr. Furman, as Joel Furman, as many of you will know, is an advocate of a vegetarian, high micronutrient lifestyle. It all makes sense. The plant fats and oils are very good. Dr. McDougall is a starch guy, starch and grains, in contrast to Dr. Furman. Dr. McDougall is a no-fat guy, a low-fat guy. Dr. Furman is a vegetarian, but he'll bring in more of the vegetable and fruit fats than he will the starches. There are differences between the two. There's five people: Brian Clement, John Graham, David Wolf, Dr. Furman, and Dr. McDougall. And as the caption says, who's right? Each one of these people, for the most part, especially McDougall, especially Clement, will tell you, you are supposed to eat this way. And in McDougall's case, it's because the studies show, the literature shows. Now, I left out Dr. Atkins. And if you scan YouTube the way I do, I have to keep abreast of the arguments, even the idiotic arguments. There's a great YouTube debate between Dr. Atkins and Dr. McDougall. Dr. Atkins, of course, was a meat guy. Now, to these five up here, Furman, McDougall, Clement, Graham, and David Wolf, if you're a meat eater, well, you're out of your cotton picking mind. You're going to give yourself cancer. You're going to give yourself a stroke. You're going to give yourself a heart attack. You're going to give yourself a whole load of things you don't want. Worse yet, it gets worse. Peruse down to picture number 9. There he is. Picture 9, Ogenus von der Planitz. Ogenus was self-taught. He wasn't formally credentialed. He wasn't a medical doctor. Look at picture number 10. This is a quote from Ogenus. Now I'm up to only losing about 3 per 100. So that means 97%. It means 97 out of 100 kick the cancer. Probably I've worked with 1,200 people with cancer. Ogenus von der Planitz. Now, Ogenus was a raw meat, raw fat, raw dairy guy, an advocate, a devotee. He had a following. He was interviewed by Dr. McCullough. He was on national TV. He was as known, well, not quite as known as Dr. Furman or Dr. McDougall, but he was way up there in the ratings. Everybody knew Ogenus. Everybody knew his vantage point. All right, so today's show. Does your body soften over time? The forgotten art of using your senses to heal. Okay, let's go back. Let's tie some things together here. If Brian Clement and Dr. Douglas Graham and David Wolf and Dr. Joel Furman and Dr. McDougall and Ogenus von der Planitz sit before you, and each man claims that they have seen tremendous success with their dietary approaches, and yet their dietary approaches are in direct conflict with each other's dietary approach, what are you, the public, to conclude? I think this is a very worthy discussion. Watch where I take it. But I think this is a very worthy discussion. Because you are John Q. Public. You're an accountant. You're a lawyer. You're a dentist. You're a restaurant owner. You're a librarian. You're an anthropologist. And you've got some vested interest in your health. And before you want to spend $1 million under the care of somebody at some famous health institute, you're going to hit YouTube. You're going to hit the literature. You're going to do what the public often does. I mean, I hear the public does this. They certainly do it across my desk. They do their own research. They get on internet before they fall asleep and just surf the net and watch the different commentaries and the different opinions. And then they end up more confused than ever. That is what they do. That is what you do. This has been going on with American nutrition, with world nutrition, with holistic medicine from the beginning of time. And it will go on forever unless we understand how to change our perspective. So this is a very relevant topic, especially if you're sick. If you've just come down with a breast cancer or brain tumor or an aneurysm or a mini stroke, you're asking yourself, what must I be doing wrong with my health? And it's got to have something to do with my diet. And when you hit the YouTube, when you surf the web, there's a million people to tell you, you're right. There is something you're doing terribly wrong with your diet. Do it my way. I'm going to kill this. Before I pass to the other realm, I'm going to help put an end to this nonsense, because it is nonsense. But let's get back to the other question. Let's assemble a panel of our own, and let's look at all of these educated, intelligent, successful men. And understand, well, now I'll cut in, they all have seen outstanding success. They've all seen it. But I'll tell you something else. When they fail, they don't ask themselves why. They don't. And if they do, they don't do it often enough. I'm telling you, there is a slant in medicine not to analyze your failures. Now, I can tell you for a fact that I used to refer people to Agenus. I did. He was what I call a healer. Agenus was self-healed. He was self-taught. And he was extremely devoted and very good at what he did. But I can tell you this, when he failed, he didn't look at his failures. I know that. I referred people to Nick Gonzalez. I don't know if Dr. Gonzalez asked himself why he failed when he failed. But I do know that he failed often enough. And I will wager you, I will guarantee you even, that Dr. McDougall, Dr. Furman, Dr. Graham, David Wolf, all fail. They succeed and they fail. So when you assemble a convention, and later on your own time, go to the YouTube 1 and YouTube 2. You're going to find those debates very interesting. It's kind of like the model of the day. Everyone knows we can't eat McDonald's. Everybody knows that Kaiser's not doing the right thing. And so everybody's looking for answers. The first place you're going to look for answers are medical doctors, holistic medical doctors. That's who hits the mark. I mean, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is not a dietitian. He's a medical doctor. The medical doctors are moving into the holistic camp because allopathy is leaving a big hole and the public knows it. And smart medical doctors, Joel Furman, McDougall, Atkins, they're all moving in. They have been. This is accelerating and it should accelerate. You want intelligent, educated people to start asking questions. The question that they're not asking themselves is why they fail, when they fail. What they do is they market out their successes. And every one of them has successes. Let me explain their successes. These guys all have clinics. McDougall has a clinic. Furman has a clinic. Graham has a clinic. Gonzalez had a clinic. Agenus didn't have a clinic, but he had a large following. He had lots of clubs. He had devotees, so to speak. All of these dogma masters, all these guys that say this is the way, open clinics, which is all well and good. It's a better way to facilitate your message. My point to you is that if you go into those clinics, what you're going to find when people claim success, when McDougall claims success, when Furman claims success, Graham, so on and so forth, is that many of those successes are simply people who ate the typical American garbage dog doo-doo diet. And if you're 50 or 60 years old, and you've done the Pizza Hut and the McDonald's and the booze and gone through the drug years and smoked this, that, or the other thing along the way and live under a lot of stress and gain a lot of weight and eat in restaurants 6 to 10 to 12 to 15 times a week. By the time you're 50, if you do anything, you're going to feel better. Do you realize that? Half of the successes, a large portion of the successes that each and every one of these clinics claim they have are based on people who simply cleaned up their diet in the generic sense. Whether you eat dairy or whether you eat meat or whether you eat bean sprouts or whether you eat avocados or fruit all day, if that's compared and contrasted with 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 years of Pizza Hut, you're going to have a revelation within a year. And that's important. Because when you misinterpret your results, then you're going to decide as the clinician Dr. McDougall's going to decide that the reason John Q. Fatso, who ate nothing but McDonald's for 50 years, got healthy on white rice, some starch, and vegetables, he's going to conclude that the reason that occurred is because he ate starch instead of meat. And that's not the reason. The reason's just common sense. I mean, come on. Doesn't this make sense to you? Yeah, but these guys are the authorities. But these are the men in white. But they must know. If they knew, why would they all be arguing? If they knew, why would so many of them be changing their minds all the time? If they knew, why does it run contrary to your intuitive sense? Now, that's the first time I've used this word. Watch what I do with it. But why would it run so contrary to your intuitive sense? Have you ever given up meat and eaten couscous and beans and oats and barley and all sorts of various grains and beans? Have you ever gotten into the legumes when you were at one time a guy that loved a rare steak? And what have you felt inside? Well, some of you have felt great. But some of you have felt like a piece of your intestines have been ripped out. And all you do is dream about steak. The rawer the better. But somebody tells you that steak's going to give you heart disease, and steak's going to give you cancer, and steak's going to make you sick, and steak made you fat. And you are sick and fat. And so you gave up that steak, and all you did was dream about steak. These guys have the audacity, and I mean audacity. I have to even say stupidity. To each and every one of them, it's stupidity. When the people in front of you, intelligent people, people who have had success, people who have done well in their life, people who are not stupid, turn around and tell you, I really crave the steak. And these guys tell you, just hang in there, you'll get rid of those cravings. There is something inherently wrong with that. And they're doing that. They are all doing that. Every single one of them are doing that. And that's how you get sick. Now, why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why right now, you sitting there listening today, John Q. Public, with a symptom, a disease, a concern, a grave confusion about how you should approach your dietary regimens each day, why would you get on a YouTube and find, as I do, all these conflicting opinions? Could it be, and so we begin the show, could it be that none of these people look at their failures and ask themselves, why do some people fail? Could it be that their attachment to dogma, could it be that their ego interferes with respecting the opinion of the patient, the client, the customer across the desk that's saying, yeah, but I crave beef. Or, yeah, but when I eat beef, it sits in my stomach for a day or two. Could it be that there's no place for the intuitive faculty in decision making? Could it be that their intuitive faculty is not developed? Could Dr. Furman, Dr. McDougall, Brian Clement, David Wolfe, so on and so forth, could it be that there's a piece of them that they're not listening to? Perhaps the diet worked for them. But perhaps their intuitive faculty doesn't hit a level of consciousness to absorb the possibility that Eskimos and big men from African tribes, the Maasai, might not do as well on a plant-based protein diet. Could it be that Agenus, a great proponent of raw meat and raw dairy, didn't ask himself, I knew someone that did the Agenean diet and gave himself a stroke. I'm certain that individual gave himself a stroke from that diet. I'm certain that this individual that did Agenus's diet over the years gave himself a massive stroke at the age of 70 years old, unnecessarily because of the amount of dairy and cream. I'm positive I saw this. I'm certain that each one of these people have case studies where people got very sick doing what McDougal says, doing what Agnes says, and yet I will tell you for a fact these guys look the other way. It's medical nature. It is the nature of the territory to look the other way when you fail. You say to yourself, I have to devote myself to helping people, which doesn't really allocate and find the time to figure out when I failed. If out of 10, you can help 5, why spend time working on the other 5? Let God handle them. Let them go elsewhere. This is what I do, and I got to keep it that way. Now, in a sense, that's understandable, but look at the collective effect of it. The collective effect of it in holistic nutrition is that we have, for the public, what? An array of people all saying me, 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 my, my, and you're more confused than ever. Who do you think gets hurt with this more, you or me? You're an accountant. I'm a doctor. My whole life has been given to trying to understand what's what and who's who. And all doctors, young doctors, listen to authorities. And when authorities argue, those doctors get just as confused. We have a breakdown in the process through which we navigate our way out of the labyrinth of disease. We have a problem with that. There is a methodology. There is a defect in methodology. A defect in methodology that some of us have scratched the surface of. Exhibit 1. Come on down here. Go to picture number 14. Picture 14, that's William Donald Kelly. And do you see picture 15? If you don't know who William Donald Kelly is, get on it. If you want to do some research into a guy that knew, get on it. You want to do a research, some research into a guy that knew, picture 16, that's Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Go on Sanitas Radio, sanitasradio.com. You've got to sign up. I think it costs a little money. Get part 1 and part 2 of Dr. Nick Gonzalez talking about food and how you make food choices. And just like Donald Kelly, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez is going to talk about metabolic types. Different strokes for different folks. And who's going to understand that better than somebody that works with the living and the dying? You see, this is the payoff. Let me tell you something about being in the trenches with people. When you're in the trenches with people, you can't afford to be arrogant because your arrogance will kill you and it will kill them. When you're in the trenches, what you have to do is observe your client. You have to watch them. Their illness, the gravity of their illness, will bring you out of your head and into your body. When you work in the trenches with people, their healing is an intuitive tour de force for you, the practitioner. When you work with sick people and you can't afford to make a mistake, because mistakes can be deadly, when you have a 97-pound person on their deathbed, when you have someone with a terminal, rapidly degenerative situation, you have to listen. They have to listen. This is one of the payoffs for working with people who have the heavier issues. Donald Kelly got stage 4 pancreatic cancer when he was about 50 years old. Donald Kelly lived to 82, cancer-free. Donald Kelly dug his way out of the hole. Donald Kelly developed 12 different metabolic types off the work of different doctors over the last 150 years. Donald Kelly developed, this is picture 15 now, the self-test for different metabolic types. It's about a 300-question. It's a 300-question self-test that you answer, add up the results to see what your metabolic type is and how you should approach radiant health. It at least, if it wasn't perfect, was an attempt that assumed that people were different. Now, why Joel Fuhrman and Dr. McDougal, David Wolf, Agnes, the guy with paleo, the guy, Lauren Cordin, that just did the paleo thing. I mean, can you imagine that? Sit down, Lauren Cordin and Dr. McDougall. Start, says McDougall. McDougall will say you can cure your diabetes with white rice next to paleo and put them in a room. How can we understand this? We're not criticizing, and I'm not being politically correct because it's, as we know, politically incorrect to criticize. I'm not being politically correct by saying we're not going to criticize. What's the sense of it? Let's understand how both those men, McDougall and Cornyn, whatever the guy's name is, paleo versus the McDougall starch diet, how can two honest men, sincere, devoted, come up with exactly the opposite findings? And both of them swear it's science. They swear it's science. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that the next time somebody crosses their hands, puts on a white coat, and says, listen, this isn't science. Science will give us the answers. Studies show there are 1,500 known publications that say meat is bad. There are 1,500 known publications that say rice is bad. You have to understand, as John Q. Public, you're getting ripped off. The day you think science, okay, trumps common sense. The day you think science trumps the intuitive faculty, you are succumbing to the scam. You are giving up your soul for the sake of the megalith, the beast. Yeah, 666, you see, wants you to think that the scientific study, the published peer-reviewed journal, has the right to contradict your science, your soul, your common sense. Now, you can peel this banana any way you want. But when you take a guy like Dr. McDougall and the paleo guy, and you assume, and I think we can assume, they're both sincere, and yet they both contradict each other, and yet they both claim science shows, you have to consider a possible way to reconcile these two findings. I have. I do. And here it is. Neither one of them looks at why they fail. They only look at why they win. And when they look at why they fail, they can't come to terms with the fact that where they fail might just be that person who needed the other guy's diet. Now, isn't that diplomatic? I have no interest in being diplomatic. None. It's just that that makes sense. And that's what Donald Kelly was trying to say. That's what metabolic typing is trying to say. That's what Vata Pitta Kapha is trying to say. That's what Chinese medicine was trying to say. People are different. Now, if you assume you're different and you like that, in my experience, when I make these points, people like it because it means you're in charge, because it means you don't have to listen to anybody, because it means you can just listen to you. You'll figure it out. People love to know that they can figure it out, and that's a good thing. Here's the problem. If you knew how to figure it out, you wouldn't be sick. Done. Done. It's good to say. It's good to come to terms with the fact that there's an answer inside you. And for as much as you love that, here's the problem. You're not going to be good at finding that answer. Statistically speaking, and there's a reason. And the reason is we've lost touch. The reason, assuming, so we're going to go to the second part of the show now. Part one is dogma and why it should die tomorrow. Part two is, well, if each person eats according, if each person lives according to their internal code, most sick people are going to fail as they dig their way out of that hole. Because although it's alluring, you make your own decisions. You do what you feel is best. You listen to everybody, and then you make your choice. And we love that. Some of us love that. Obviously, lots of people want dogma, but some of us love that. My point to you who love that is you don't know how to do it. So now I'm not going to be politically correct because you don't want to hear that. I know you don't want it. I tell it to people all the time. You don't know how to stretch. You don't know how to eat. You don't, and I have to say that. I'm forced to say it. Because if I don't say it, you're never going to clean your slate. You come in thinking you know, and you don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't be where you're at. Now, that's not a criticism, but the criticism is you have to consider that part of your problem is the fact that you've lost touch with your senses. And that's what these gentlemen have all done. They've lost touch with their senses. Or some reasonable facsimile. There's no doubt that Joel Fuhrman's diet worked for Joel Fuhrman. There's no doubt that Agenis's diet worked for Agenis. There's no doubt that Dr. McDougall cured himself. Dr. McDougall has an amazing story. Dr. McDougall had a massive stroke at 18. Dr. McDougall's 75 years old. He looks fantastic. Don't get me wrong. These diets, from the Agenis's diet to McDougall to Fuhrman to Wolf, these diets to Clement. Clement looks fantastic. These diets work for them. So either they're not in touch with their body in the sense that they assume that diet's going to work with everybody. That's not a body-centered thought. Your senses. How do you get in touch with your senses? I put three clips up top. Forget the first two. But I want you to go to the third clip, the pyramid code. I want you to go to the pyramid code. I want to do this with you, and I want you to do it correctly. Hopefully, you're on the site. If not, you're going to just have to listen. I want you to click on, and I once you click on the pyramid code, I want you to go to minute 24. I want you to go to 24. 24 minutes into the show. I just want you to scroll to 24 and turn it on. I'm going to do that. I'm going to say click, and everybody clicks. And I want you to hear what this gentleman, you're going to see an Egyptian man there, an old Egyptian man. His name is Hakim. Hakim is the keeper of the ancient Egyptian tradition, meaning pre-dynastic, pre-dynastic Egypt. This means Egypt, the dictatory, the way the culture taught people before we had the pharaohs in Egypt. And this guy Hakim is the keeper of that tradition. And he's making commentary. He's making commentary on modern man today. Going to relate. It's going to be very relevant to my point here. He's going to talk about the senses. And he's going to be talking about traditions, cultures, where the central thrust of education was not to give you data. It was to develop your senses. It's fascinating. This is part of a, I think it's 5-6 series, episodes. Carmen Bolters, he's an archaeologist, anthropologist that put it together. It's called The Pyramid Code. This is the empowerment, human empowerment. It's episode 4. So turn it on and go to minute 24. Just scroll to minute 24 and then click off on minute 24. So you've gone to minute 24, you've clicked off, and now just turn it on, minute 24. Go. Just listen. The ancients. Don't compare people of today. Ancient days. Okay, just at that point where Hakim talks about 360 senses. We only have 5 senses, he says. We're supposed to have 360 senses. He's talking about people of today. And he's talking about people of pre-dynastic Egypt. 360 senses. He's talking about a time when culture was given, education, schools were given to developing the sophistication of the senses. Now do one more thing. Go to minute 27. Scroll to minute 27. Go to minute 27. Give yourself a second there to go to 27. And then click it on. All ready? One, two, let's go. We're in minute 27. Get the second part here of what Hakim is talking about. Sacred structures. Today, educated. Yet engineers can't build a small pyramid. No schools. There it is, that last sentence. Hakim is saying, because knowing is a very great power. Now think about that. A keeper of an ancient tradition, before dynastic Egypt reigned, before the pharaohs, when Egypt, if you look at this episode, this series, when Egypt was a matriarch, not a patriarch, when you couldn't pay for your enlightenment, when you had to earn your enlightenment. This is what this whole series is about. Hakim is saying that education today fills your head. It doesn't fill your soul. Hakim is saying education today doesn't develop your senses. Hakim is saying, as Bolter said, Carmen Bolter said, we don't know how they built the Sphinx. We don't know how they built the pyramids. We still can't figure it out with that precision today. We're all our schools, all our universities, all our knowledge, all our technology, and we would still be gravely challenged by the intelligence it took to put these megaliths up in 2016. And then Hakim is saying, the reason is we haven't developed our senses. The reason is education doesn't develop the senses. And you have to take that in. You have to look at the pyramid code. You have to not be disrespectful to ancient teaching. You have to look at McDougall. You have to look at Furman. You have to look at Graham. You have to look at Ogenes. You have to look at nutrition. You have to look at these stupid debates. And understand that the reason people can't come to terms with the way is because they don't know how to listen to their body. Because listening to your body is about listening to your senses. Gonzalez said it. I think if you get the Sanitas radio and listen to Nick Gonzalez talk about his experience curing cancer, and Nick Gonzalez cured cancer. Donald Kelly cured cancer. Honestly, I don't know if Ogenes cured cancer. I have no personal experience with that. Perhaps he did. I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt for their successes. But when you listen to Gonzalez talk, and Gonzalez was as heavyweight along with Kelly as you could possibly be. He talks about listening to your body. And this is the consortium of people in American healing, in world healing, I think we really should be listening to. And it's going to jive with your common sense. The issue is, why can't we? And that's what Hakim is saying. We have been taken out of it. Now, I'm going to take the third leap of the show. And the third leap of the show, go back to the title of the show. Does your body soften over time? The forgotten art of using your senses to heal. Here's what your senses should be telling you. That no matter what you're doing, the food you're eating, the massage you're getting, the yoga class you're taking, the dance you're doing, the person you're married to, the person you're marrying, the person you're divorcing, whatever you're doing, if you're moving in the right direction, even if you're confused, your head is confused, you don't know if you should serve someone with divorce papers, you don't know if you should get married, you don't know if you should move out of your house, you don't know if you should move into this house, you don't know whether to eat meat or fat or beef or vegetables, and you don't know what you should be sensitive to is your body softening over time? Is it softening? You see, if you're sick and getting sicker, I guarantee you your body is not softening over time. Now, I understand you don't know what that means. I understand 3 weeks, 6 weeks, a year into a nutritional program or a way of eating or yoga class, if I said to you, is your body softening over time? I understand you'd barely, most of you would barely have a clue. And even if you did, you'd refuse. You'd refuse to light the crooked path. You'd refuse to light that dark road in the jungle of healing on the back of that your body's softening over time. I'm suggesting that you do. I'm suggesting that at the root of disease is a fibrosis in between the cells, and you can feel it. You can be sensitive to it. You can be palpable to it. You can feel it dissolve in yourself as you make your choices. Healing, navigating your way out of the labyrinth of disease into the radiance of health, is a journey. And it's a journey that comes with many, many decisions, many choices, many options. Just knowing how to eat is its own debate. And what I'm suggesting to you, and I'll give you the reasoning behind this, I'll give you the science behind this. But what I'm suggesting to you right now is to be able to develop a relationship, adept enough, skillful enough, a sophisticated enough relationship with how your tissues feel is one of the indices. It's one of your guiding lights. Does your body soften over time? When you touch it, when you squeeze yourself, when your loved one squeezes you, when your massage therapist squeezes you, when your chiropractor twists you, when you go into a yoga class, when you go to cardio bar, when you go to a dance class, when you stand up out of a chair, when you squeeze in between the car door in a tight parking space, is the day-to-day of your life, since you've made the choices you've made in your health journey, is it softening your tissues? Now, if you could start to be sensitive to that and respect that for what it means, you come to terms with the fact that your body's giving you the answer. Bodies that make wrong choices don't soften. If you make enough wrong choices and a healing path, and you're not softening your tissues, I don't mean getting flabby. I mean the fibrotic, dense, chewy matrix of your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments, your joints, your abdominal cavity. I mean, is the matrix of it softer, more supple, less painful, lighter? Do you follow? Does that make sense? If you simply used one variable, if you measured one variable over time, from the beginning of disease to a complete healing, what you would find is that the body, over time, towards a healing, is getting softer and softer and softer. You go from the aged fibrosis, the rigor mortis of death or near death, to the youth of the child. the tone, we say, the tonicity of the flesh begins to change. In Eastern medicine, palpatory diagnostics is everything. In Eastern medicine, what you feel when you touch somebody tells you all you need to know. In Eastern medicine, application of your health regimen is evidenced in terms of efficiency. In Eastern medicine, your regimen, what somebody pays you to do, what somebody trusts you to do, the efficacy of it is measured by the change in the tone of the person's flesh. And that change in the tone is something the person has to, at some point, begin to determine themselves. I'm going to say that again. For those of you who don't have a subscription, which I can't even understand. If you don't have a subscription, get a subscription. You have to understand where this show comes from. It comes from a young doctor becoming an older doctor over 25 years, listening to everybody and asking himself, why do some things work for one and not for the other? And then not understanding how anybody can do what McDougall and Furman and Ogenes and Paleo are doing. I don't get it. It's a ripoff. And the notion that you're just supposed to dawdle around in the dark and find out what's good for you when our entire culture divorces you of your senses. Your educations don't bring you to your senses. They divorce you from your senses. That's where this comes from. This is food for thought. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you're lost in the labyrinth, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. You call that number and let's initiate the healing specific to you. But the question will be, is your body softening over time? And if it is, don't worry about your symptoms. You broke out in a rash, don't worry about it. You're going crazy, don't worry about it. You just threw up your meal, don't worry about it. You've got diarrhea all day long, don't worry about it. You're sweating profusely at night, don't worry about it. Your liver enzymes have elevated, don't worry about it. You feel like you're going to die, don't worry about it. Stay focused on whether or not your body will soften over time. Do not focus on symptom. Do not focus on disease. Focus on whether your body is softening over time. Very scientific, wouldn't you say, right? What would the medical community think? What would the scientific community think? They'd say this is the biggest load of garbage they've heard in 100 years. Don't worry about your elevated liver enzymes. Don't worry if your breast cancer markers have gone up. Don't worry if that pain in your head is worse. Don't worry if your back pain that was bad got worse. Just worry about whether or not your body's softening over time, if you even could figure it out yourself. Isn't that a load of garbage? That is what they'd say. Let me tell you why they are wrong. Let me give you disease in a nutshell. Let me give you the etiology, the pathogenesis of your problem. Go to picture 17. Those of you who are not new to the show, some of you who have memorized the 254 shows, really studied them, know this picture. This is the extracellular matrix, the area between the cells. If you have a symptom, if that symptom has gone to a disease, let me give it to you in 5 minutes. That's not possible. Come on, Medici. It's not possible to sum it up in 5 minutes. It's just not possible. It is possible. Think about what you do know. Certainly not medicine. Think about what you do know a lot about. Think about your profession. I'll bet you could sum up your profession in 5 minutes. I'll bet you could. I'll bet you that you could sum up the clinical experiences, the pearls of wisdom in your profession, the one you've mastered, in 5 minutes. You could. You could. I will right now for you. That area between the cells, that cell becomes, now go to picture 19, attacked by different forms of free radicals. It becomes attacked by the enemy. It breaks down the membrane of the cell. It breaks down the protoplasm. It ultimately breaks down the DNA. the guts of the cell spill out into the area between the cells. And once the guts of the cell spill out in between the cells, once the membranes are chipped off to critical mass, you know, go to picture 20. The immune system cells begin a war. The whistle blows, and all the immune system cells flock together, and a cell called a fibroblast starts laying down a web of fibrin. Fibrin. Just for your edification, tumors, cancers, web themselves in 27 layers of fibrin. Good luck to your immune system. So let's go back. Cells, organs, have spaces between the cells. Those spaces start to get concentrated with chunks of the cell that get blown off or dissolved as they subjugate to free radical damage. Once the space in between the cells is alerted by the immune system, fibroblasts come in and lay down fibrin. Once you lay down fibrin, you surround the cells in a swamp of muck. Now the cells are surrounded in a swamp of muck, and the healthy cell becomes polluted by the intercellular space. And once it does, now go to picture 21. At some point, it decides to kill itself. Its intercellular space, its neighborhood, the space, the streets outside your living room are so filthy that you decide to kill yourself. The cell decides. That's called apoptosis. Go to picture 22. If the cell doesn't go apoptotic, it just goes senescent. It just sits there like a dumb cell. It doesn't do what a cell is supposed to do. The heart cell doesn't beat right. The kidney cell doesn't filter right. The brain cell doesn't make information correctly or store it or transfer it or integrate it correctly. The sex cells, the Leydig cells of the testes, don't do what they're supposed to do. The ovaries don't. The pancreas doesn't. And so on and so forth. The cells in the swamp of muck, controlled by the fibrin in response to the oxidative stress, begin to build up a response, apoptosis, senescence. Now go to picture number 24. Now there at the end, full-blown malignancy. If you're sitting in your living room and your front door and your windows have been blown out, at some point you're going to become apoptotic, meaning you're going to whack yourself. You're going to become senescent, meaning useless, or you're going to become malignant, meaning you're going to try to reproduce yourself to get out of the hole you're in. That's what pathology is. Apoptosis, senescence, or malignancy in response to massive fibrin deposition. Fibrin deposition is when the terrain is so filthy. Do you know what we call that? We call that fibrosis. We call it scarring. We call it rigidity. We call that old man that just got prostate cancer that looked like he was a walking mummy before he got sick. We call that, I can't move my neck, I can't move my body, I can't digest my food, I ache all over, I don't feel right, I feel out of it, I can't transmit. It's called density. Soften yourself. It's called rigor mortis. Soften yourself. Softening yourself, to soften oneself, is to ensure yourself that you're reversing the fibrotic mess in between the cells. To soften yourself is to assure yourself that you're reversing the fibrotic mess between your cells. To soften the fascia, to soften the ligaments, to soften the tendons, to soften the matrix of the organ. The organs go from hard to soft in a healing. Now, that's simple. That's common sense. That's palpable. That's discernible. If you're connected to your body. It's all easy to do, easy to understand, if you use your senses. But if you use your head, if you can't use your senses, if you can't feel the righteousness of a healing, if you can't feel the small flicker of health beginning to soften you, you're going to stay locked in your head, and you're going to go crazy, and you're not going to heal. And no matter what the studies show, no matter who tells you what, you will spin forever. And that's what Hakim is saying. That's what the ancient wisdom said. The ancient wisdom the ancient Christian wisdom, and otherwise. It all said that science is only a tool for the senses. It said if science teaches us to disregard higher knowledge, then it's pseudoscience. Who plays the trump card, the science or the soul? If you're of Christian faith, as I am, and you pray on Sunday, how do you integrate your faith into the world of science? Where does science play a role, and where does science take a back seat? And this is what's at stake here. If you stay locked in your head and you don't listen to your body, isn't listening to your body listening to your soul? Isn't the inner intelligence of you transmitted through your senses? You see the argument. You see what's at stake. Much is at stake. Stay locked in your head, you will fail. Listen to your body. Healing and health is listening to your body. Listen to it soften. Trust that. We'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.